This is Pure Decking, show number 257 for Thursday, April something. Insert appropriate day, insert appropriate year. I'm Morps, and this is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current cyberpunk world, information security, and forgetting what year it is. You know, I've probably been in the VR goggles for a while, you know, I lost track of time. Joining me tonight, I think... Maybe. I don't know what I've been drinking. BSV, I've been drinking Cannonball Rum. What are you drinking?
Captain Merkin's private stock.
Ooh, fancy. Madman, I'm also drinking rum. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Leinenkugel Summer Shandy.
Neat.
I'm less impressed with it every year I drink it.
I need a HUD with the date. The IRC is accusing me of needing a HUD with the date. No, you know, you need to take a HUD with and the out of that sentence. Finally, Suave, I'm drinking rum. What are you drinking?
I am also drinking rum. I am drinking Captain Morgan's spiced rum.
Nice. Actually, I think the Cannonball is a spiced rum, is a Captain Morgan's rum. So...
sponsored by Captain Morgan's rum.
Because they won't pay us to stop saying their name.
Well, I think I might have to grab Bacardi just so I'm an outlier.
Well, you know what you do with outliers and statistics, right?
You disregard them, but they're usually Bill Gates. I'm cool with that.
But they're usually Bill Gates. Oh, that works. That works. So, I don't know, does anybody else get the seasonal, you know, hay fever and shit like that? Because I firmly believe the trees are trying to kill me.
They're raping you yearly, I know that.
Yeah, they're having sex in my nose. It's
so much
disturbing.
Tree jizz going in your face.
You shouldn't let trees do that to you, that just sounds unsanitary.
Well, I tried burning them down once, but this bear with a shovel showed up and seemed pretty stern and unhappy about it.
I was just not wanting you to do LSD and play with gasoline and matches near my house.
But it looked so flammable.
Yeah. Along with, you know, well, it's not as much flammable as it is combustible, which, you know, is every neighborhood or tree ever.
So, anyways, I am literally drinking the rum to stop the pain. so I can, you know, breathe. I don't know about you guys, but I guess I'm trying to think of some other witty banter before we move into the stories, and I just don't have any. Madman, do you have any witty banter?
Witty and banter? No.
Yeah, no. None of us are witty tonight. All right, well, it's fine.
Pick one.
Cheap, effective, or cheap, fast, effective. Pick two. Actually, no anymore. It's pick one. Anyways, let's see. So this is from theregister.co.uk. It was posted today, I believe. It is hilarious. Prisoners built two PCs from parts, hid them in the ceiling, and then connected to the state's network and did cyber shenanigans. And they would have gotten away with it, too, except for WebSense. So, God knows how long they were doing this. So, we'll just start with the article here. We are impressed by five prisoners in the U.S. who built two personal computers from parts, hid them behind a plywood board in the ceiling of a closet, and then connected those computers to the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections network to engage in cyber shenanigans. Compliments are less forthcoming from the State of Ohio's Office of the Inspector General, which published its 50-page report into this incident yesterday following a lengthy investigation. The Inspector General was alerted to the issue after ODRC's IT team migrated the Marion Correctional Institution from Microsoft proxy servers to WebSense. Shortly afterwards, on the 3rd of July, 2015, a WebSense email alert reported to ODRC Operation and Support Center that a computer operating on the network had exceeded the daily internet usage threshold. Further alerts, 7 regarding hacking and 59 regarding proxy avoidance, WebSense is a proxy, so yeah, it's going to be sitting there. It's like, well, we see they're Googling how to get around WebSense, so we figured we'd alert on that. Reported that the user was connected, or the user was committed to network mischief. From there, the search for the miscreant began. And once the login credentials were found to be illicit, the ODRC's IT employees attempted to find the unauthorized computer by locating the network switch it was connected to. The incident report filed on the discovery, included the Inspector General's noted, on the above date and time, I was following on the information received from OSC IT department. I have been told there was a PC on the network that was being used to try and hack through the proxy servers. They narrowed the search area down to the switch in P3, and the PC was connected on port 16. I was able to then follow the cable from the switch to a closet in the small training room. When I removed the ceiling tiles, I found 2 PCs hidden in the ceiling on 2 pieces of plywood. So, you know,
prisoners... No one wondered why there was a fucking Ethernet cable going to a broom closet?
No, dude, nobody ever questions that shit. Nobody... seriously. You can go put devices on a network, and as long as they look official, nobody's gonna fuck with them. And if it's an older network, nobody questions cables just going into things. You know, I've seen power cords that loop out of walls and get plugged into outlets. They're for lights somewhere. Or, you know, you've got the network cord that's just a loop, you know, hanging out of the ceiling. It comes out of the ceiling, goes back up in the ceiling. Usually what that means is somebody moved a tile with a whole bunch of extra length loops on it and just one of them fell down. But, I mean... nobody questions this shit because it's like, oh, computers are magic and scary and voodoo, and I don't think I'm supposed to touch anything. So they don't. Now, here's where it gets fun.
There's no computer in the closet.
Yeah, no, it goes up in the ceiling. It goes into the ceiling. People don't question shit in the drop ceiling 9 times out of 10.
Okay.
The computers were cobbled together from spare parts which prisoners had collected from Marion Correctional Institute's RET 3 program, a program that helped rehabilitate prisoners by getting them to break down old PCs into component parts for recycling. Forensics analysis of the computers completed by the Ohio General Office revealed that the users exploited their access to the ODRC systems to issue passes for inmates to gain access to multiple areas within the institution. They also used the Department Offender Tracking System to steal the personal information of another inmate and use those details to successfully apply for 5 credit cards. They logged into the prison system and they were fucking around with it. And instead of saying, like, bumping up their release date, no, they went and took another prisoner's info and started getting credit cards over the internet.
Well, somebody would notice them leaving years early, possibly.
Additionally, forensics by a more technical team reported finding a large hacker's toolkit with numerous malicious tools for possible attacks. These tools included password cracking tools, VPN tools, network enumeration tools, handcrafted software, numerous proxy tools, and other software used for various types of malicious activity. In addition to the above, forensics team found self-signed certificates, pigeon chat accounts, Tor sites, Tor geo exit nodes, Ethersoft is spelled out. They spelled it as 2 words. Virtual phone, pornography, videos, video LAN, and other various software. So, yeah, they were on the internet and downloading shit, according to evidence that malicious activity had been occurring within the ODRC inmate network. They reported inmates appear to have been conducting attacks against the ODRC networks using proxy machines that were connected to the inmate and department networks. It appears the Department Offender Tracking System portal was attacked, and inmate passes were created. Finding Bitcoin wallets, Stripe accounts, bank accounts, and credit card accounts point towards possible identity fraud, along with other possible cybercrimes. Ultimately, 5 inmates were identified as being involved with the hidden computers and have been separated and moved to other correctional facilities. More details on their conspiracy and others involved in it are again available in the full report. In response to the report, ODRC said it appreciated the time the Inspector General's office has taken to conduct these investigations. We have already taken steps to address some areas of concern. We will thoroughly review the reports and take any additional steps necessary to prevent these type of things from happening again. It is of critical importance that we provide necessary safeguards in regards to the use of technology while still providing opportunities for offenders to participate in meaningful and rehabilitative programming. So in other words, we're not going to fix shit. We found it. Problem solved. And you're like, don't you think you should maybe work on that portal that got hacked, or, you know, maybe some better, you know, inventory of what these prisoners are dealing with? It's like, no, that's what we bought the WebSense for.
So how long do you think Obito, these five prisoners, have their own voice chat system up and running between the five facilities?
I would imagine that they've either they already have, or they're not going to bother because they're cobbling these things out of old machines, so they're just going to go with IRC. But
IRC, and now they're going to have games running in all of the institutions they're at.
You know, here's a thought. Why do you have open network switches in areas where prisoners are? I mean, seriously, if you want to give them computers, that's one thing. But I would, I'd go for some NAC, network access control software, for one, so unauthorized machines can't be plugged into the network. Or two, maybe you just, you know, these machines shouldn't be networked. There should not be network ports in an area that prisoners are working in. Just a thought.
Yeah, but knowing what they've already set up, instead of having network ports open, they'll just set up a Wi-Fi
system and not secure it. Yeah, they said we could put a switch, so we put in a Wi-Fi access point.
What do you mean we're supposed to set change the default password? That should work fine.
Go ahead, Madman.
That it's a prison. They should just whitelist all of the computers. If you're not on the computer's not on the list, it can't do anything. And then we see all the computers that are supposed to be doing anything, and we track them down.
Well, you see, that's hard. That means that actually we have to know what our network is and what it does and what machines are supposed to be on it. That sounds hard. Why don't we just leave it like it is? It's working.
But it's a prison. You should know everything that's in a prison. It's not like a college campus where random people are walking in and leaving all the time.
You know, honestly, I'd be more concerned about prisoners making shivs out of the computer parts than I would be them building working computers. But still,
these guys should be able to build a resume out of this.
I would. That's absolutely somebody a pen tester wants to hire right there. We surreptitiously built computers in prison, hid them in the ceiling, and the only reason we got caught was they finally changed out the web proxies of WebSense. I mean, shit.
I'm not just thinking pen testing. These are networking guys. Look at what they were able to build with nothing. I have a pile of stuff building
so now,
something
here's a question.
Better.
Here's a question, because IT experts have been around long enough, or IT professionals, I should say, that occasionally some of them are going to go to prison. Like, what was it, Hans Reiser, didn't he, like, kill his wife or something like that? I mean, you're occasionally going to have a sysadmin snap and go in and saying, I'm solving the problem, Dave, and just start shooting people. So, you know, if you know somebody in the prison happened to be an IT person, you know, maybe you should be careful letting them around computers. Although self-taught is pretty common, too, so I don't know. I think you're right. I think, okay, seriously, it's whitelisting, it's NAC, it's don't, you know, maybe you should have these systems that issue passes be air-gapped. You know, the prisoner systems, maybe they can go get dumped straight into a proxy system before the internet, but, like, it'd be internet only, it wouldn't be connected to any prison systems. Oh, yeah, Psychros, what was his name? Schwartz? Was that his name? Aaron Schwartz, the guy who killed himself instead of going to prison? Anyways, what?
That one, if he offed himself before going to prison, there would be no prison shenanigans. He doesn't matter.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it might not be that uncommon to have people who know their way around a keyboard going to prison every once in a while. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like they would start searching you pretty hard for cell phones and computer equipment and Well, I mean, geez, like Raspberry Pis are tiny, like a Raspberry Pi Zero. Wouldn't take much to get one of those up and running with a little screen on it. And
could definitely keister one of those.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that you want to. It's a bare circuit board, though.
Well, you know, you got to put it in a condom first. Come on, don't they teach this in school down where you guys are from?
This is like common knowledge. That's the schools I went to.
No, we don't fuel heroin where I live.
Oh. But all I got to say about this article is brought to you by WebSense.
There's probably some truth to that. So, all right, this next one is from Ars Technica and is funny. Again, this is more because it amused me than any real technical story here. Burger King made waves. When was this posted? On the 12th. Made waves today after it released a TV ad that purposely triggered the Google Assistant. The ad ended with a person saying, "Okay, Google, what is a Whopper burger?" A statement designed to trigger any Google Assistant devices like Android phones and Google Home to read aloud the description of the hamburger's ingredients. Google wasn't happy with a third party hijacking its voice command system to advertise fast food and has issued a server-side update to specifically disable Burger King's recording.
But what if I want to know what a Whopper is?
Before the ad was disabled, the Google Assistant would verbally read aloud a list of ingredients from Wikipedia. Of course, the internet immediately took to Wikipedia to vandalize the burger's entry page, so edits were saying things like toenails and cyanide. Getting the Google Assistant to actually read one of these false edits was a rough task, since Google Assistant gets its data from Google's index rather than the live query of Wikipedia. Still, according to The Verge, there was a brief period of time where Google Assistant would read a false edit. Google's shutdown of the feature is interesting. The ad will still wake up a Google Home. The OK Google phrase will light up the device, and the little lights on top will spin while it waits for the query to make a round trip to Google's servers. Google Home will no longer recite the burger's ingredient list, though. Apparently, Google has made changes, so Burger King's specific recording of the phrase will no longer trigger their voice response. Instead, the Google Home just quietly goes back to sleep without any response to the query. Having a live person ask, "Okay, Google, is a Whopper burger," will still trigger a voice response. Android phones are a little less susceptible to inadvertent hot word triggers thanks to a feature called Trusted Voice, which aims to only listen to OK Google triggers from the device owner. Android phones also don't have OK Google enabled by default, and I've taken steps to strip it from my phone. I don't know about you guys.
That actor's voice is triggering it.
Yeah, it's the actor's voice. That specific recording is what they disabled, giving Burger King a smaller target area. Google is working on a voice-based user authentication scheme for Google Home, which would shut down similar hot word hijacks in the future. Total time the ad triggered the assistant was about 3 hours. Burger King is still on the hook for the now defanged ad on television, but the company has already got its money before thanks to tech articles. So, but we all knew it was only a matter of time before somebody started abusing all these voice-activated crap through TV.
I don't know if that's abuse. That's amazing.
I want to see an ad that voice activates the Amazon one to order the 55-gallon thing of lube for everybody that listens to the ad.
Oh, I've come up with a fantastic way to make sure people lock their computer at work, because we have a policy that says you lock your computer when you get up and walk away from it.
Turns out a lot of people, huffing people?
That's boring. That's predictable. No, most people leave themselves logged into Amazon or use the password saving feature of their browser.
At work?
Yes.
So, I have, in fact, almost, because they came back too soon, ordered a pallet of Charmin for someone. I figured, you know, toilet paper's not that expensive. It's fairly innocuous, but, 10 boxes of it or whatever the packages, whatever it is on Amazon.
Cases of cat litter.
Yeah, there you go. No, I didn't. Psychos is asking why not a big pink dildo. Well, because then I would have to Google that in real quick, and, toilet paper comes up faster and is not quite as harmful.
Besides that, home circumcision kit if you're going weird.
Yeah, yeah. Or uranium. Uranium's another good one. But yeah, the 55-gallon drum of lube or the gummy bears that give you the squirts, those would be another good options. But I would...
Bit bears exist.
What?
Bit bears exist.
Yes.
This is something I
didn't know this.
So there's a brand of quote-unquote sugar-free, it's like Harbro gummy bears, but the sugar-free ones from Europe... Or not Europe, South America. I'm sorry, it's from South America. They use a type of sweetener.
Oh, the one that may cause anal seepage.
Yeah, it turns out.
I'll tell you right now, any sugar-free gummy bears will do that.
Well, anyways, it's because the sweetener they use instead of sugar is not one that American palates are used to. Thus, our systems don't really know how to handle it. And the reviews on Amazon are gold.
Awesome. I'll have to read some of those. McDonald's had to switch cooking oil after they tried to go low fat because the FDA was wanting them to put warnings on their fries that it may cause the runs.
Well, didn't the, like, what was it, Olestra do that?
Yep. Yeah, that's the oil they switched to. Yeah. They didn't stay with that very long.
They're saying I should have prepped better in the future so that I could quickly order the big pink dildo off Amazon for people who leave their machine unlocked. I figured the toilet paper they would actually use, so they couldn't get that mad about it, you know?
Hey, I don't want to judge people. They might use a big pink dildo. Just don't refer to it as their dildo. It's always going to be the dildo.
Dildo, yes.
Don't imply ownership.
So.
But I think that is a great ad. Having Google just look up your shit and spout it off to people, I'd have gotten a kick out of it if my Google thing started doing that, and then I would unplug the fuck out of it because the demons possessed it.
Oh my god, can you imagine old people who got like a Google Home for like Christmas or something from the grandkids? And they're like, why is this talking off the TV? Hitting it with brooms and shit. I don't know. I just... You know, technophobic. Somebody who's technophobic around one of those things, and the TV sets it off.
Oh yeah, demons possessed the fuck out of that. We had to exercise it with a shotgun.
I tell you, I actually get mad at people at work because they have like the Apple one Siri turned on, and you know it'll go off. We'll be in the middle of a meeting, and we'll have said something close enough to the wake up phrase. And I'm like, dude, we work at a financial. We have confidential meetings all the fucking time. And you have your phone sitting there broadcasting it to God knows where? Really? I've gotten a couple people to turn it off, but some people don't really believe me. So.
Siri, how do I add a body?
Apparently, you can say 411 or not 411, but there's like strings of numbers, like a whole bunch of different strings of numbers you can say to it that it'll immediately start calling emergency services. I guess it's so you can surreptitiously call 911. So,
oh, it's not just that. You gotta think, Google's an international company. I don't think 911 in England is the same as 911 in the States.
No, it's that their emergency long numbers thing are different. The IT crowd. 86. No, I can't remember it now. It's a joke. You need the song to remember it, and I didn't memorize it. So, anyways,
the cops aren't going to help you with that. I'm going to return my Alexa now. It is not being helpful.
call up Amazon support. Yeah, Alexa keeps calling the cops on me every time I have my friends over. I don't really know why. I think it's hearing our D&D games and deciding that we're axe murderers. I don't know. It tells you to call the cops if you ask how to hide a body.
But don't worry. Alexa won't cooperate with the cops after it calls them.
I was looking around to see if I had an iPad or something handy. I was going to ask it, how do you hide a body? But,
oh, it'll tell you it doesn't remember how to do that anymore.
Oh, I can't find one anyways. I thought I had an iPad in here, but I don't know where it is. God knows I've got enough tablets around. There's three Android tablets around, but I can't find an iPad at the moment. Anyways, Next article. This is from CNET. On a giant street at Marvel's San Francisco headquarters, the author is watching one of the robots deliver lunch. The four-wheeled bot is bigger than he expected, to give you an idea of scale. It's built on top of an electric wheelchair base. The cargo can hold cargo bay can hold up to 4 grocery bags at a time, and it's over 4 feet tall. It uses various sensors, including LiDAR, or light detection and ranging technology, like used in self-driving cars, to help it navigate city sidewalks. The robot rolls along at a leisurely pace for 3 to 4 miles an hour. Partnering with Yelp Eat24, a handful of Marvel robots are now delivering orders in 2 San Francisco neighborhoods, Mission and Potillo Hill. Each robot is modular, so components like the cargo bay can swap out depending on the delivery type. We're initially starting with meal delivery, but we're also looking at other markets like grocery and pharmacy. Yeah, people are going to start hijacking the robots to steal your pills, dude.
Oh, yeah. Those are going to be stolen and scrapped as soon as they start carrying anything that's opioid.
You place an order. The robot navigates to the restaurant where the orders are placed in the hot bays and the cargo. You receive a text message with a code to unlock the food when it arrives. Because, obviously, you know, the robot, does it have any defenses against a hacksaw? I doubt it.
It's modular. It doesn't have defenses against a crowbar.
Robots will be able to complete an entire shift around 6 to 8 hours. During the initial phase, a handful of robots will be completing dinnertime deliveries in San Francisco over short distances of 1 to 1.5 miles. Human handlers will accompany the robots and can take control if needed. You know, no. They're not there to take control. I'm sure the robots work fine. We've got cars that drive around. It's to keep people from stealing shit out of the robots.
All right, if you already have a human walking next to the robot, why the fuck do you have a robot?
No, it's probably remote control that the people take control.
And here's the important part of the article. The Marvel bots are also creating high-resolution maps of the sidewalk, detecting things like potholes and cracks in the path. The idea is that this data can be used to track conditions of the sidewalk and potential feedback reports for infrastructure purposes. That is not what that data is for. That data is for marketing so that they can sell advertising space on the sidewalks.
Oh, foot traffic.
Yep.
Which bench has the most people seeing it every day? Okay.
That, yeah, if these things ever get widespread, I mean, it's like the Amazon delivery drones. You're going to have people shooting them down for free gifts.
Yep.
I don't know. The Amazon security drone doesn't have a helicopter flying next to it. I think it's more of a target than this guy. It comes with a bodyguard, which completely reduces the labor-saving quality of this robot.
But yeah, I mean, the hell's that noise? Sorry. Anyways, I heard a buzzing noise. Turns out it's the... Well, it's the cat. The cat is buzzing. I don't know how else to explain it. Anyways,
the cat's evolving into a drone.
It makes perfect sense.
Probably unplug the cat.
But then the room will go dark.
How much petrol has the cat eaten?
Well, it wanted to turn into a transformer, so... God, that's a callback, isn't it? Hell, that's not even my show. We're calling back to your show, Swan.
So it's going for the Beast Wars Transformers?
No, he's got a toy he's laying on, and the toy is making the noise because he's laying on it. Anyways,
Faraday Cage, sell the parts on eBay. We're kidnapping a fucking robot.
If it has an AI, is it actually kidnapping, or is it just theft?
Oh, it's theft, but I want to still call it kidnapping a robot, and it's going to be assault and battery when I steal the Thai food it's holding.
Alright, I can see the court. They hold up the little model of the drone. Alright, robot, show us where he touched you with the crowbar.
Like, all over the place. I was even teabagging that motherfucker.
Oh, I need the sound clip from Rivka and Morty. What is my purpose? Oh, I
die after bringing me Thai food.
I should do that. I should mine Rick and Morty for sound clips for the show. That's not copyright infringement, is it?
Oh, God, no. Wait a minute. Yes. Yes, it is, but we don't care.
All right. Next article up is from Computer World. If you want privacy, run Linux. Let's see, the author here has said recently bashed Windows for being too darn snoopy, and it's not just Windows. Ever since Yosemite came out, Mac OS has been just as untrustworthy. Chrome OS, Android, and iOS are designed around cloud services, so by default they share everything you do with a third party. The only answer for true privacy is desktop Linux. So he goes on and on here. Chrome OS and Android, for example, are Linux distributions. They are performed at full power only with an internet connection, and Google makes money from your information. So if privacy really matters to you, you need an operating system that does not broadcast your moves to the World Wide Web. For all practical purposes, this means desktop Linux. Because whereas you can certainly use cloud services, Gmail, or Office 365 on Linux, most Linux desktop apps live and work on your desktop. The applications such as LibreOffice, Evolution, and GIMP are every bit as good as the Windows equivalents, but you don't, you know, and then Wine can usually run on Windows desktop. So the article is interesting here because he goes on and on and talking about how great Linux is from a privacy standpoint. And the sad truth is that Windows and Mac used to be the same from the privacy standpoint, and they just added all this telemetry crap in. And apparently the new version of Windows, the Creators Update, it turns all the tracking back on even if you turned it all off. And there's rumors that it ignores the registry keys and the policies to turn things like Cortana off. And the update apparently resets all your apps back to the Microsoft defaults. I mean, dude, you know, if it weren't for a handful of software that I need that runs on Windows and doesn't run particularly well in Linux, I'd be on Linux daily. Oh, well, I mean, I'm already on Linux daily. I'd be on Linux full-time, not just half-time. I think I spend about half my time on a Linux system. All day it works on Linux, but I don't know. Anyways, so I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm oh, sorry, cat's breaking things in the other room. I've been leaning more and more towards switching over to Linux, and I really don't have any reason not to at this point. Pretty much everything I want to do on Linux. Like right now, Linux, like Steam OS, or yeah, the like the Steam games that are compatible with Linux. There's more of those available right now than there were in the entire Steam store when they actually released their Linux capabilities. So there's that, and really it's gaming that's been like the big hold up. But really, there's so many games on Linux.
Well, it's not just gaming. There's things like the Adobe Suite and
true.
There's some other some of my audio software that I use is Windows only, unfortunately. Now the primary DAW I use, Bitwig, is not. It has a Linux build. But all the add-ins I use for, like, the good-sounding guitars and shit like that, nope, that's all Windows only. And have yet to get it to work correctly on Linux. I've tried. Believe me, I want to be on Linux full-time. But, and the new Ubuntu, like, I think released today. So, you know, and I don't even have that article, but I don't know if anybody even on this channel would even care. Ubuntu's not shipping Unity anymore. They're going to switch back over to GNOME for 18.04, I believe.
We actually covered that last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
Now you know twice.
Cool. I didn't realize I talked about that last week. I must have, though. I don't remember what I talk about. It's not like I go back and listen to shows. You know, if I remembered every show, how crazy I would have to be.
I thought that's what the alcohol was for.
True. Although I'm willing to bet at this point Psychros knows pure decking better than I do. So, I mean, like, oh yeah, that was on show such and such at this minute mark. It's like, dude. So, anyways. He's agreeing in the chat room. That's even better.
If it wasn't for gaming, I think a lot of people would switch over to Linux simply because it's free.
Well, not only that, but I mean, not only is it free, once you learn it a little bit and get used to it, It's a hell of a lot easier than Windows. It really is. A lot of people talk about how hard Linux is to use. That's just the initial curve. Once you kind of get your head around the way the system works...
The ones I've played with are all GUIs. They're not that hard to stumble through.
They're not. But the thing is, Linux had the App Store before your phone ever did. They called it apt-get or Synaptic, Yum, I think, on Red Hat. Yeah, Yum. Trying to think if they had another name for it, but RPM on Red Hat. But Linux had that long before, so you just go on the command line or run your... They actually made applications for it now. It used to be Synaptic. And just say, install Firefox, install a game, install Wine, install GIMP, DLC, whatever. Just do it. Just go out to the repos and just get what you want. So I actually had a script back when I was seriously trying to use Ubuntu full-time. This is actually before Unity came out, and I had a job where I could get away with this. I had a script that would set my Ubuntu desktop up and go out and get everything I needed. So I would install a machine and then just, run my little shell script, and I'd have a full working desktop in a couple hours. And most of that time was just waiting on the thing to install from CD, and the machines weren't very fast back then. And now there's actually entire distros based around that idea. I honestly think Linux is easier than Windows. I truly do. It's just hardware support and games and certain software is all on Windows, so you end up running both. Well, I'm definitely losing my voice. Any other thoughts before we move on to the Ars Technica article here?
Yeah, but just once you're running both, does it really help you to run both?
Yes. There are many tasks that are 10 times easier on Linux.
Okay.
So, many of them pertaining to security testing and servers and stuff like that. But if you're looking to do data manipulation, and some of the built-in command line shit's hard to beat. I've yet to see a Windows equivalent for grep, just saying. Or the pipe. Just being able to pipe data between commands and dump it out to text files. Stuff that would take hours to script out on Windows. 3 or 4 commands on a Linux command prompt. Pipe it on to text files. Dude, it's nothing.
Windows has Bash now.
Yes, it does, but it's not their own tool set. They actually took the GNU tool set and compiled it on Windows, and they kind of run it like their version of Cygwin. So, I've yet to see anything native to the OS, anything like some of the command line tools. As opposed to simply installing the Linux command line tools on Windows, which is what Bash on Windows is. Anyways, Ars Technical article. New processors are now blocked from receiving updates on old versions of Windows. We knew Microsoft
Hardware new processors are blocking it, like the hardware is blocking it.
No. Windows is saying, oh, you're using a new processor. Yeah, you got to upgrade to Windows 10.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, BSC goes, wait, what?
What happened to the whole concept of choice?
Yeah, that doesn't suit Microsoft's bottom line. So, yeah, your computer, it's actually our computer now. We know you paid for it, and you're paying to run it, and you think it's serving you. No. If you're on Windows 10, and your machine decides it's time to install updates, but you're trying to do something important, it's installing updates. Nothing more important you could be doing than installing Windows updates.
I was having connection problems earlier, and it just ran the test. What was it?
Windows was updated?
Services, and I just stopped the Windows Update service, and all of a sudden my internet's working again.
Yeah, that's because it was trying to download all the weekly updates.
Yep.
So, here's the article. We knew Microsoft was planning to block installation of Windows 7 and 8.1 on updates on systems with the Intel 7th generation core processors and AMD Ryzen systems. We just weren't sure when. The answer appears to be this month. Users of the new processors running old versions of Windows are reporting that their updates are being blocked. This block means that systems using these processors are no longer receiving security updates. The new policy was announced in January of last year and slightly revised a couple of months later. Kaby Lake and Ryzen processors and all new processors on an ongoing basis would only be supported in Windows 10. Windows 7 and 8.1 would continue to support older processors, but their chip compatibility has been frozen. Awkwardly straggling the two policies are Intel 6th generation core processors, aka Skylake. Some Skylake systems will continue to be supported in Windows 7 and 8.1, others will not. Certain Skylake models shipped by 16 specific OEMs will continue to receive update support, but other Skylake systems will need to upgrade to Windows 10 to receive ongoing updates. Now, the bitch of this, if you buy your Windows license, it's supported for a certain number of years. It has nothing to do with what hardware you run. So, Microsoft is saying to people who built relatively new systems and put a Windows 7 license on there, yeah, we're invalidating your license early, and we're not going to support it. Because just Windows Vista support just ran out a little while ago. Like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So 7 and 8.1 should be supported for years. And Microsoft is simply saying, yeah, we're not going to do it. Yeah, we know you bought a license. We don't care. Upgrade to Windows 10.
Is it at least a free upgrade to Windows 10?
It was if you did it before June of last year. Or was it July? I think it was July.
Yeah, if you just bought a new license and they are preventing you from putting it on your computer,
that's theft or a free upgrade.
That's them not providing you a product you paid for.
Absolutely.
That's a lawsuit.
So, Microsoft's policy does not strike the author as objectionable per se, strikes me as objectionable. In practice, you would imagine that most Windows 7 and 8.1 would run fine on Kaby Lake and Ryzen machines, but Microsoft can't just shrug its shoulders and assume that everything would work fine on the old chips. The company would have to test and validate the old operating systems on new hardware, and the author can see why it would rather it would not do so. For Skylake systems, the 16 OEMs have undertaken to perform some of this testing themselves. No such arrangement has been put in place for Kaby Lake or Ryzen, but in a manner in which the change of policy is being introduced leaves the worst taste in the author's mouth. Microsoft argues that the new processors include new capabilities and hardware that makes compatibility with the older operating systems difficult or undesirable. There are elements of truth to this. Both Ryzen and Skylake both made some important changes to features, such as processor power management, and on some level, Microsoft may not fully support these capabilities on the older systems. Windows 7 has no built-in support for USB 3 and NVMe, and the mere act of installing it on modern systems can be a little tricky. Dropping support for Windows 7 also arguably consistent with Microsoft's support policy. 7 has been in extended support since January 2015. Products in extended support are due to receive security updates, but no new functional or other improvements will arrive. Limiting support for processors that were introduced after this time does not seem entirely unreasonable. Okay, for Windows 7, you may have an argument there. But Windows 8.1 is a different story. Windows 8.1 is still a mainstream support period, during which it should not just receive security fixes, but functional improvements. Unlike Windows 7, 8.1 already includes native support for USB 3 and NVMe, so installation headaches that can occur on the older operating system are avoided. Refusing to support the latest processors in an operating system that is still fully supported is distasteful. It feels like something of a bait and switch. Microsoft's mainstream support promise apparently has no real meaning. So, okay, I didn't realize Windows 7 had fell into extended support. So, yeah, not activating the new features. I get that. But, yeah, Windows 8.1 is fully supported, so that's definitely not cool. That falls under, you know, I paid for something and I'm not getting it.
Well, even with Windows 7, if it's not supporting my hardware, so I bought new hardware that it doesn't fully support, I should still be able to use it, at least to the extent my hardware can.
Yes. And new processors run old code just fine.
Yeah.
That's a big selling point of most processors, is that they're backwards compatible with the old stuff. It's only when you get into weird shit, like trying to load a 16-bit operating system on a modern processor, that you start running into shit that don't work. I guarantee you these brand new processors run 32-bit code just fine.
So they say Windows 7 went into the whole we're not adding more features. So they add a feature that blacklists.
Yeah, from getting the products. Security updates, which is kind of the bitch. Because it's like, yeah, you can, yeah. Now if you don't upgrade to Windows 10, you're going to get viruses. Like, fuck off. Come on.
I thought you weren't adding features.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If you're not adding features other than security updates, don't add a blacklist feature.
It's not a feature, it's a limitation. We're adding limitations to entice you to upgrade.
I thought that's what the bugs were that you were calling features earlier.
Well, this is just Microsoft not giving a fuck anymore. They're going, no, we got a monopoly, we're going to use it.
Somehow gaining access or control over a major or software company, I don't know of a way of doing anything.
It's called moving to Linux.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We just need to get a large enough portion of people in Linux for it to be viable. The only problem is, I don't want to move to Linux until Linux is doing what I want it to do. But Linux won't do what I want it to do until enough people move to Linux. It's the chicken and the egg issue.
Yeah.
Were you trying to say something, Swell?
Nope.
Oh, I thought I saw your thing light up.
I might eat a bun.
But, yeah, you're right. That's the real problem, but Linux is so much farther along than it was a few years ago. I mean, you could probably, for 90% of what you do, you could probably switch to it. But,
yes, but the main thing I have my home computer for is games. I'm sorry.
No, it's true.
I don't know why they haven't focused on that.
It's because the game producers aren't focusing on it.
And the game producers are going, Windows is 90% of the market. I'm making a game for Windows. So.
And then you get another, 5 or 6% with Mac?
Well, the thing is, if you port your game to Mac, you shouldn't have too much of a problem porting it to Linux. Because Mac is roughly a BSD. But the big limiter is that... usually when you write a game for Windows, you write it in DirectX. And DirectX doesn't really have a good analog on Linux unless you run Wine. But if you write a game for Mac, you usually use OpenGL. OpenGL works just fine on Linux, no porting required. So if you port your game to Mac already, a Linux build shouldn't be much of a problem.
Why do Blizzard's games have to be ran in Wine? Because all of Blizzard games have been released in Mac as well.
They have OpenGL modes, and that used to be a thing. When you were running WoW under Wine, it would run better if you told it to run an OpenGL mode.
Okay.
So, and Cycross is making a good point in the chat room about the audio libraries are very different. So, okay. But I would still say the graphics engine is probably a large chunk of that work. And I'm going to move on to the next story here, because my voice is getting worse. Last article tonight is from motherboard.vice.com. Trump's transition team asked NASA about surveying the moon for resources. Trump wants to mine the moon. I think that's awesome.
All hail to the God Emperor. He's going to bring us jobs in space.
Internal communications between NASA and Trump's transition team, obtained by a motherboard FOIA, show the new administration is interested in how the agency's research helps private industry. President Trump's federal budget blueprint deeply cuts the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, and other agencies, but spares NASA. When Trump wants to reduce the EPA's funding by a third, effectively gutting the agency, he's proposing a mere $20 million reduction to NASA. NASA's $200 million reduction to NASA's current $19.3 billion budget. The cuts mostly target NASA's programs monitoring climate change and the agency's educational outreaches. Thanks to internal communications between NASA and Trump's space transition team, Motherboard has obtained, through Freedom of Information Act request, It is published for the first time publicly here. We have some clue as to why Trump seems determined to keep the space agency mostly intact. The administration is very interested in NASA's money-making potential. Specifically, Trump's team, which is made up of several space entrepreneurs, including Charles Miller of NextGen Space, is inquired about NASA's ability to develop technology for commercial use, as well as the agency's plan to survey the moon for useful raw materials and evaluate potential of extractability, a.k.a. mining. The 100-plus pages of documentation on the motherboard obtained, including emails, briefings, directories, and budget spreadsheets, Trump's agency review team, or ART, only asked a handful of questions of NASA. One of them deals with the technology NASA develops and whether anyone can profit from it. The ART has requested the following information. One briefing paper states, provide data and examples of how NASA does technology development for perhaps even the form of products when working with industry, and mining the moon. I'm going to stop reading there, but I think that's awesome. mine the moon. I think we should.
You don't have to limit to the moon. We've landed on comets. We can mine everything in space. Mine the solar system. There aren't any trees up there to give a fuck about it.
Bob, thoughts?
Let's mine space. I am all on board for that. There's no complaints here.
Isn't that like the start to every sci-fi movie ever? It's like the miners in space. Or the truckers in space. Oh, for God's sake.
Hey, it's better than what flashed in my head. For some reason, I got Jews in space. Oh, you know his son-in-law is going to be heading that up if we ever do it.
I don't know why that played twice.
But yeah, mine the moon, mine asteroids. If we can figure out how to do it, mine Mars. I would say mine Venus, but those clouds are fucking crazy. I don't know if we can get shit to the ground.
Oh, I see. That's why mine an asteroid and just turn the entire asteroid into a landing base.
Ooh, good going, BSV. How are we going to get the stuff off of Venus?
That I haven't figured out. We could just take enough asteroids and until we crack Venus open and scoop up what remains.
Get for the gooey center.
We're bombarding the shit out of it. The atmosphere will go away, and we'll have a nice open crater to whatever's in the middle of the planet.
It's like a Kinder Egg.
Hey, most of our gold is in the mantle anyway, so you have to go pretty deep.
All right. Do this. Alright, got two quick ones tonight for Digital Dojo. The first one is a GitHub link to a repo that X0RC has posted. The Shadow Brokers, who we made fun of their name previously, posted the decryption key to their entire archive. And now it's all up on GitHub, including a cool default password list, a whole bunch of internal tools, command and control systems for Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, HP UX, SunOS, a bunch of anti-forensics tools, some web tools, FTP servers. There's all kinds of stuff in here. So, yeah, it's the toolkit the Shadow Brokers were selling. And, so if you want to look through all these tools that were supposedly stolen from the government, you can do it. And there's still a bunch of code in here that people don't know what it does. So you could have some fun picking through it, figuring out what it does, running against systems. I mean, some of this stuff looks like it might be pretty old, especially since it's targeting stuff like SunOS. But it turns out there's still a lot of, you know, Unix systems out there running on things like SunOS and old versions of Solaris and things like that, Netscape server. So if you're targeting systems like that, you're targeting old infrastructure, things that have been around for a while. Could be old government, could be government, could be other governments. I would imagine you're probably targeting financial systems if you're going for that kind of shit, though. banks and old large companies are some of the last ones to upgrade off these systems. Mainly because it's insanely expensive for them to do so because of the amount of data and transactions they have running through them all the time. But, good thing, and, you know, the default password list is pretty interesting, if nothing else. So,
I wonder how much of that is repeats from the WikiLeaks dump.
Hard to say. I don't know that anybody's compared them yet. And then the last thing I have, which, if there's interest, we may set one up in G15, is Mastodon, which is a interesting version of GNU Social. It's basically a Twitter clone, but it's federated. So I would set one up on my server, and then let's say Suave had a server and he set one up on his server. We could have people make accounts on, you know, like I would make an account on my server, he'd have an account on his server. But let's say I wanted to follow his feed. Well, it kind of works like email in that your server and your account has a domain name on it. So, you know, hit Suave's full account would be Suave at Suave server kind of thing. So if I followed his system on my server would know to connect to his server over DNS to get his messages. And because these things are decentralized and federated, it can do that. So anybody could run their own, like an email server, and you run your own you run your own Twitter, basically. So if there's interest, we may set one up on G15. I don't have a problem doing that. I think it'd be kind of fun to play with. But it's free, it's federated, so if you make an account on one system and you can then follow people on other systems as long as they're running the same or similar software.
I have to know their system name. It's not going to kill Twitter.
No, it's not, but I think it's cool compared to Twitter.
It is neat.
But it's not the first attempt at something like this, certainly, but it looks pretty good for what it is. And there's a lot of buzz around it right now, so... What was the Facebook... The one that was supposed to kill Facebook, Diaspora, I think? Did something similar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
Or Diaspora. I don't know how you'd say it. Anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. BSV, do you have any closing thoughts?
Mind space, blow up the rest with mass impacts.
Cyclops is saying I need to look into Scuttlebutt, too. Well, you're right, I haven't noticed that. Won't dig my name over it until the show's over. Let's see. Bob, closing thoughts.
I got nothing. Oh, yeah, no, it's back now. So the Mastodon, that actually reminds me, when I was looking into mesh networks here a while back, I stumbled across, there's somebody who's working on a project. It was like this, kind of like what you're talking about, but it was more of like an offline mesh type network where everybody would have this installed, and then it just think of it like Facebook or something. So you would actually go make your post, and then next time you're close to somebody else who has this installed and you're on the same network, their client will download what you've posted to your wall. And then anybody that they encounter, they'll download all the updates from them. And it's kind of like it plays this game of offline telephone between different devices. And like it kind of organically distributes the information as it gets updated. So there's
no... Seems like that would be a hell of a system to keep in any kind of sync.
Oh, it's not in sync. Like, that's the thing. Like, you might make a post and, like, the guy across town might not see that post for, like, a week or something like that because, you know, you weren't on the same network. So, like, I could see it working better in some places than others. But I think that I just thought that was kind of a neat idea just for, I feel like that would be more useful, like, if everybody in a town had that, or something like that, or maybe in universities, or, you know, somewhere where there's lots of people.
Yeah, I could see that. I just kind of like the idea that your social network would be more like an email system than a, you know, like everybody has to go to the same site kind of thing. Because then it is distributed, and if you're not happy with something happening, you know, you run your own server, who cares, right? So, but the Scuttlebutt, an off-grid P2P social network that runs without servers and can fall back to Sneakernet. Well, that actually kind of sounds like what you're describing. Scuttlebutt.nz, a work in process guide to SSB Verse and key Patchwork, which is a classic social networking application. What's this say to do here? Be invited to a pub, join the community. Huh. I don't know what that does. Anyways, pub servers on the internet, anyone can run. Yeah, that kind of sounds like what you're running, except they occasionally sync up to these pub servers.
Okay.
That may
even be what I was reading about.
Maybe, I don't know. What did you... Psychro says he ran into dependency hell on Slackware trying to get it to build. Yeah, I could see that. Slackware's... They've gotten a lot better about that, haven't they? But the dependency hell, I thought they basically got their own package management system going, and I forget what they're called now. I haven't used Slackware ever, man. Anyways, Madman, closing thoughts.
Okay, Google, what's in KFC's original recipe? Did anyone's house trip? I just want to know if I caught anyone.
Smoke weed every day.
Listen to the stream. We're always working on Pure Decking every Thursday. The best way to get a hold of me is probably still on Reddit right now. But if we want to set up this Mastodon, I might do that. And if there's interest, and by interest I mean people either posting on the Reddit saying to set one up, or, you know, in the IRC telling me to set one up. And yeah, we'll go from there. But anyways, of course, the Galaxy 15 site, open to ideas on it right now. So anyways, that's all I got. I'm gonna play the Pac-Man sound now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
How many of the ghosts trying to eat Pac-Man or Pac-Man's past lives?